Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning at St. Mark's Lutheran Church. Lutherans are a means of grace church. What does that techno-theological speak mean? What is the means of grace? Means of grace emphasizes the way or the means through which God delivers his forgiveness and his grace to us. And it is quite obvious that the most significant, the most obvious way in which God delivers his grace to us, the means that he uses to deliver his grace to us, is the Word of God. In today's service, and in this half of the church year, when we think about the importance of our Christian faith and life, we will see in today's service how the Word of God is such a vital means of grace, a vital way that God uses to create and nourish and sustain our Christian faith. After we sing the first hymn in the red hymnal, we'll follow the service that begins on page 3 in the service booklet. Come, let us worship the Lord. Stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this, I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God our Heavenly Father has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Blessed Lord, you have given us your holy scriptures for our learning. May we so hear them, read, learn, and take them to heart, that being strengthened and comforted by your holy word, we may cling to the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Before he grew up and became a great prophet for the nation of Israel, the boy Samuel heard the call of the Lord and responded in faith. A reading from 1 Samuel chapter 3. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me?" But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me?" "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me?" Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." The word of the Lord. The psalm for the day is Psalm 122. We will sing it following the instructions on page 8.
Let us go to the house of the Lord.
And rejoice with those who said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord."
I rejoiced with those who said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing in your gates, O Jerusalem."
I rejoiced with those who said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord."
For the peace of Jerusalem, may those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels.
I rejoice with those who said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord."
For the sake of my brothers and friends, I will say, "Peace be within you." For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your prosperity.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
In addition to encouraging his readers to exhibit godly virtues in their lives, St. Paul also encourages the Colossians to let the word about Jesus Christ dwell among them richly. A reading from Paul's letter to the Colossians in chapter 3. St. Paul writes, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The word of the Lord. We stand for the reading of the Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 10.
Glory be to you, Lord. Glory be to you, Lord.
As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things. But only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." The Gospel of the Lord.
Thank you.
I don't mean to ruin the start of your week, but tomorrow is Monday. And unless you are retired, or unless you're a pastor and Monday is your easy day because Sunday is your big work day, unless you are in one of those two categories, that means you got to go back to the old routine tomorrow. The weekly routine starts up again, and even if you are a pastor, and even if you are retired, you might be extra busy next week because you might be involved with VBS here, which starts tomorrow. But the weekly routine starts up again, and if you're like most people, when you sit down tomorrow to start the work week, there's going to be about 36 things competing for your attention, and you only have so much time to be able to complete just a handful of those tasks. So what do you do? How are you going to choose what gets done and what has to go to the back burner? Someone told me a while ago that business execs and CEOs, especially those who are successful, have a practice of saying that they're just going to focus on 2 or 3 major things. They're going to prioritize those items and everything else has to go on the back burner. Everything else is just going to get ignored. I do not aspire to be a CEO. That is not on my bucket list. But that seems like pretty good advice. Preparing the end of monthly report for the board meeting is probably more important than ordering a new office chair. And packing and shipping the order in the shipping department is probably a little more important than stocking the shelves or cleaning the floors. And at home, changing your child's diaper, as unpleasant as that may be, is probably a little more important than moving the furniture around in the living room. It's not as if any of those secondary things are bad or unimportant, but they're just not as important as some other things. And every day we realize that, and every day we have to prioritize things. Every day we put first things first. Since we are all well acquainted with that concept, the gospel message for today will be something that we can relate to quite easily. It's also something we need to pay attention to. With so many different things grabbing for our time and our attention, Jesus comes to us in this account of Mary and Martha, and he helps us to put first things first. That's the lesson that we will take home as we study the gospel for this week during the course of this brief sermon. From Luke chapter 10, Mary and Martha were two friends that appeared to have a close acquaintance with Jesus. We know from John's gospel that they lived in the city of Bethany, which was in the larger vicinity surrounding Jerusalem. These two sisters and their brother Lazarus were close friends of Jesus. In fact, as you may recall, it was shortly after the sudden and unfortunate death of their brother Lazarus that Jesus would come to Bethany and he would raise Lazarus from the dead in front of the whole village. This family, these siblings, had a special place in Jesus' heart. It's quite possible that he had an open invitation to stay there with them every time he was traveling through Bethany. But on this particular visit, Mary and Martha's priorities placed them in different parts of the home. Luke says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." Both hostesses showed their appreciation for Jesus, but the way they expressed that appreciation was quite different from one another. Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. This was not exactly a conversation about what was on the evening news. This was a student-teacher scenario. Luke literally said that Mary was listening to Jesus' word. And when Jesus preached the word, and when people listened to the word, it involved more than listening to some curious divine advice from the Son of God. It involved a whole lot more than just discussing the events in the evening news. It involved listening to the story of salvation. Jesus didn't waste his time telling cute stories that were only meant to entertain. He didn't spend a lot of time discussing secular philosophies that the academics would have been pondering. He talked about his word, and his word reveals his goal and his purpose, his mission as the word who became flesh, as the Savior who came to fulfill the words of the Old Testament and to fulfill our redemption for all time. In some way, shape, or form, that would have been the topic of consideration, of discussion, when Jesus entered Mary and Martha's home. Now, until more recently, when I would hear this story, I would get this picture in my mind that Mary and Martha were like poles on a magnet. Mary was dutifully and literally sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to the lesson that he had for her. And Martha didn't even hear a word and was just busy with the blender and the mixer and the microwave in the kitchen taking care of stuff. But a more careful look at Luke's original words suggests that maybe Martha was kind of bouncing back and forth between listening to Jesus and taking care of the preparations. Or she was trying to keep an ear on them, on what Jesus had to say as she was going about her work. But finally, she just got to the point where she couldn't take it anymore. This meal had to be taken care of. The Son of God was in her living room, and she ought to give him some hospitality. Her heart was in the right place. She thought that she was doing what was most important. In fact, the word that Luke uses here to describe her preparations is often elsewhere translated service. And that possible translation shows us that Martha was engaged in a whole lot more than just busy work. Martha had a noble goal in mind, to serve her heavenly guest with a fitting and appropriate meal, to give him a fitting and appropriate welcome. But you and I know that just because somebody has good intentions doesn't necessarily mean that they're making the best choice. And that was the case here. We will give Martha two thumbs up for her desire to warmly welcome Jesus. Nothing wrong with that at all. But we can't give the same grade for her priorities. She didn't keep first things first. She didn't recognize what was truly most important. She thought that for her to be a good hostess, what she really needed was to make this time preparing the meal for Jesus' body, but what she really needed was for Jesus to be the host and for him to deliver to her soul the heavenly feast that was found in his word. And her failure to realize that led her to question her sister's motives. She expected that Jesus would agree with her when she came in and said, "Don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." Jesus' answer must have thrown her for a loop. I don't think she saw it coming. I mean, can you kind of sense a little bit of that underlying tension in the room when she said what she did? "Come on, Jesus, I'm working my tail off here in the kitchen, and Mary's just sitting there like a kindergartner during story time. Tell her not to be so lazy." Surely Jesus wouldn't disagree with somebody who was promoting a strong work ethic, right? Well, "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Mary appears a little tense and anxious, and Jesus is calm, cool, and collected. This is not what Martha expected. Martha appears tense and anxious, and it's not what she expected. I don't think she expected Jesus' response either. Jesus never really answered her original question. That's because that question needed to be redirected. The important question was not, "Don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself?" The important question Martha should have asked herself is, "What is the most important thing for me to be concerned about at this particular moment when God in human flesh is in my house?" Sitting at the feet of the Word who became flesh and being nourished by his spiritual food, that's what should have been the top priority on Martha's list at that particular moment. He never said that her concerns about an earthly meal were inappropriate or illegitimate, but he did say that they weren't top priority. The meal that they would enjoy would be there and it would be gone. But the spiritual banquet that Jesus would set before them would nourish their souls for time straight into eternity. Tomorrow, the work week starts up again. And we all have plenty of items pressing for our attention and our time. We have to go to work. The meals have to be prepared. The bills need to be paid. We have to get to the grocery store. There's VBS in the morning. The kid has an orthodontist appointment in the afternoon. There's a ball game we got to call the boys off to in the evening. All this stuff going around. Somebody's got to take care of this and that errand. There's repairs to do around the house, especially if you're moving real soon. You'd like a moment to just sit back and unwind and relax and read the paper or watch Jimmy Fallon late at night. But there are plenty of things pressing for your time. And something's got to give. And you know what's the first thing that gives? All too often, and when I say this, I'm putting myself in the pew with you, because I do this way too often. You know what's the first thing to give is? Bible study. Devotional time. Think about your to-do list for tomorrow. Did it ever dawn on you to put 15 minutes in Bible study and prayer at the top of the list of priorities for tomorrow or for next week or for this coming week? If you're like most of us, you probably said, didn't even cross my mind. Yeah, I really should get into that routine, but I just didn't think of it as something that should be on a list of priorities. But when tomorrow rolls around, will I make that change? Will that be the first thing I do before anything else? Will that be the first thing that starts off my work day or whatever tasks that I have on my to-do list? I'm going to be honest. And again, I'm in the pew with you on this statement. When tomorrow rolls around, it will be far too easy for you and for me to forget this. Even as we're going, yeah, I really need to be back in the Word more often. It will be far too easy to forget this and to not change those patterns and to not make devotional time a priority in our lives. And it's so easy to come up with excuses. But I've got so much to do. I wouldn't have thought of it. I'll pray when I go to bed at night, except I fall asleep while I'm praying. But I'll pray then. I'll do something. And all along, we come up with these reasons why it's not quite as important as it ought to be. And then Jesus turns and he looks at you. And he says to you and to me, Martha, Martha, Jonald, Jonald, fill in the blank, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Why is it that we fill our schedules to overflowing with every activity under the sun while the book of books collects dust in the corner? Why is it so easy to believe that 1 hour in the padded pew is enough and two is too much? Will the camping trip and the fishing expedition and the sports game get you into heaven? I'm not saying you can't enjoy those things. These are blessings of God. By all means, enjoy them. But how often doesn't it happen that the other things, the other activities, whether they're unique, occasional, or regular activities, how often don't they take precedence in our lives over a little devotional time in the Word of God? Well, Jesus has something to say to all the metaphorical Marthas that are here today. It's time to put first things first. It's time to feed our faith. That's what Jesus wants to do for you, because his word is not just a textbook on social justice or a newspaper on political campaigns. His word is a banquet for your soul. And Jesus wants to fill your soul completely full with a rich and generous portion of his word and his gospel. Sit down at your Savior's feet, as we are doing right now. Sit down at your Savior's feet again tomorrow sometime. And the next day, and every day thereafter, and let him feed your faith with his sustaining word. When we sit down at Jesus' feet and listen to his word, he gladdens our hearts with the news of the gracious forgiveness that he won for us by laying down his life into death on the cross. When we sit down at Jesus' feet and listen to his word, he cheers us with the promise of eternal life that is intimately connected to the fact that he rose from the dead for you and for me on Easter morning. When we sit down at Jesus' feet and listen to his word, he helps us to understand the tremendous grace and comfort and peace and forgiveness and joy that he showers on us through his word. When we sit down at Jesus' feet and listen to his word, suddenly we realize that the schedule, the to-do list, the hustle and bustle of everything that's got to go on is not nearly as important as the forgiveness and the stability and the tranquility for our soul that Jesus offers to us. Jesus helps us to put first things first. It's not hard at all to relate to this little account of Mary and Martha. Everyone who has ever had a hectic day or a frenzied schedule, and I'm pretty sure that's everybody here, everyone who's ever experienced a busy time knows how hard it is to stay on top of things. Finally, something has to give. Finally, we have to put first things first. You, dear Christian friend, were number one on Jesus' priority list. He spared no expense to rescue you from hell. He left no work undone to secure your spot at his side in heaven. With gratitude for his genuine and thorough care for you, let's let his word take first place in our lives from this day forward. Lord Jesus, keep us steadfast in your word, that we recognize that it is truly the one thing needful. Amen. Please turn to page 11 in the service booklet as we respond to God's word and confess our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you. This coming week is our church's annual vacation Bible school. Although the service booklet does not note it directly, at this time, we invite all who are volunteering and serving in this week's vacation Bible school to come forward to be installed into your positions as volunteers assisting with our ministry in the coming week. You may now come forward at this time. Dear friends in Christ, in holy baptism, our Lord Jesus Christ liberated you from sin and death and made you members of his body, the church. Through word and sacrament, you have been nurtured in faith. You have now been selected for positions of service to our Lord on behalf of this congregation. The Lord has entrusted you with an office which you are to carry out as his servants according to his word. St. Paul wrote concerning service in the church, "We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully." The Lord seeks faithfulness from all who serve. As Scripture says, it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. The Lord does not seek from us what he has not given to us, but when he does give a gift, it is his will that we use it faithfully, to the glory of his name and the benefit of his people. You are also, as servants of Christ Jesus and workers in this congregation, to set for your own families and the whole church the example of Christian lives. Make the word of God your foundation and guide, search it daily for comfort and instruction, so that the congregation may be assured of your willingness to serve. I ask you in the presence of God in this congregation, will you diligently and faithfully carry out the office entrusted to you according to the ability which God gives you? If so, then answer, "I will," and I ask God to help me.
I will, and I ask God to help me.
I install you as volunteers assisting the ministry of St. Mark's Evangelical Lutheran Church's Vacation Bible School in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. May God give you his Holy Spirit and give you wisdom and strength to carry out your duties this week to his glory and for the benefit of his people. Let us pray. Merciful and gracious God, our lives are open before you and you hear our promises. We ask you to send your Spirit into the hearts of these, your servants, that they may carry out their duties in the coming week with diligence, boldness, and wisdom. Bless the ministry carried out through our Vacation Bible School. As your Son embraced little children and welcomed them into his arms, help us to embrace the young souls that will be on our campus this week, that their faith may be nurtured and strengthened with the message of your grace. Help our congregation to be a source of spiritual strength and support to these families and to all families that encounter our gospel ministry. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Go then and give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. The Almighty and merciful God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you. Go in peace. Our worship continues with the prayer of the church, and in this morning's prayer of the church, again, we will have a number of special intercessions for those who are in need of our prayers. We ask for God's healing power to Pam O'Kane, who is the friend of our member Cynthia Rogers. Pam suffered a broken leg recently. We will remember St. Mark's former pastor, now seminary professor Bill Tackmeyer, who was diagnosed very early with a very early stage of prostate cancer and will undergo surgery this week, Tuesday. He is looking at a very positive prognosis because they did find the cancer as early as they did, but we will keep Pastor Tackmeyer in our prayers. We will remember the family of Pastor Lynn and Celeste Weedman. Pastor Weedman recently retired after serving at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in North Hollywood. Prior to that, he was a missionary for our church body in India. Their daughter, Heather, recently was diagnosed with a very significant brain tumor. and they are not able to operate on it at this time because of the depth of the tumor. We will pray that God restore her health if it is his will, and also pray that they are able to endure this difficult trial that is before them. Finally, we will pray for the family and friends of our member Linda Renz, who suffered for a very long time with Lou Gehrig's disease and whom the Lord has called now home to himself in heaven this past week. Let us bow our heads and pray. O Lord, light of the world and saving strength of your people, we thank you for the gift of your word. Implant it in the hearts of your people that, set free from the power of Satan and the fear of death, we may live to serve and honor you. Pour out your Spirit on us that we may grow richly in divine knowledge and spiritual understanding. Bless the proclamation of your word everywhere, so that hearts may be turned from the darkness of spiritual ignorance, falsehood, and despair to the light of knowledge, truth, and life. Be with our missionaries in our own and distant lands. Protect them, encourage them, and crown their labors with success. Let your word shine in our homes, that parents and children may dwell together in love and serve one another in kindness and humility. Watch over the sick, the sorrowing, the anxious, and the weary. Preserve those who are in any danger of body or soul. Supply us by the grace of Jesus with the Spirit's power, that we may be always comforted by your truth and sustained by your love. Send your healing power to Pam O'Kane, the friend of our member Cynthia Rogers, who is suffering after a broken leg. Encourage her with your promises to bring blessings to us even through difficulties, and teach her to look to you as her help and strength at all times. Watch over our former pastor, Professor Bill Tackmeyer, as he undergoes surgery this week. We thank you that his cancer was discovered at a very early stage, and we pray that according to your will, Pastor Tackmeyer's surgery may go well and that he may receive a clean bill of health in the near future. Comfort the family of Pastor Lynn and Celeste Weedman as their daughter Heather deals with the diagnosis of a brain tumor. If it is your will, O Lord, heal her and bless the treatments she undergoes that her life may be extended and that she may gratefully serve you and her family. Whatever the future may hold, help them to trust that you hold their earthly and eternal futures in your gracious hand and will be with them even in these difficult trials. Shower your gracious love and comfort to the family and friends of Linda Renz, whom you have called home to your side in heaven. Amidst their tears, cheer them with the certain knowledge that Linda is enjoying eternal life at Jesus' side, where no disease or difficulty will ever affect her again. Teach us through your word to be faithful to you, that we also may look forward to the day when you call us to our heavenly home. For these and all the other things you know that we need, we confidently ask for them in the name of him who gave himself for us, that we might live through him, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please turn to page 12 in the service booklet as we continue under the heading, The Sacrament. Please stand. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord. Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who promised that wherever two or three come together in his name, there he is with them to shepherd his flock till he comes again in glory. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. Blessed are you, O God Almighty. Through Jesus Christ, your eternal word, you created all things and made mankind in your own image. Blessed are you, O merciful Father. When Adam sinned and lost your image, you did not forsake the people you had created.
You sent your only Son, Jesus Christ, to take on our human flesh through the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary. As our substitute, he fulfilled all of your laws in our place and died the death we deserve because of our sin. Blessed are you, O God, our Savior. You have gathered us here to remember Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf. In this meal, you give us his true body and blood, which paid our debt to you and assures us of your forgiveness. For all of your undeserved love toward us, we give thanks and praise to your living and life-giving name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Please turn to the bottom of page 15 in the service booklet as we continue with the Song of Simeon. Please stand. We give thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this Holy Supper. We pray that through it you will strengthen our faith in you and increase our love for one another. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Seated. For our announcements this morning, or one in particular, we'll turn the floor over to the president of our congregation, Mr. Jim Oswald.
Good morning. St. Mark's has a history of gifted pastors and teachers over the past 50 years, Pastor Donald Stray being one of the latest. As he has been called to serve our Lord at a new location, we will miss Pastor Emily, Lydia, Julia, Kurt, and Claire. But we know they will be a blessing for their new congregation, and we know the Lord will continue to bless us as well. Pastor Stray, last Sunday leading our worship will be August 28th. Last Sunday, your church council was installed into service. Some men are new to the council and some on their second year of a two-year term. We met last Tuesday for our regular meeting and began the conversation on what this vacancy will mean for our ministry. A vacancy is the ideal time to analyze and align our ministries. We started by focusing on our mission statement. St. Mark's exists to glorify God, grow in grace, and go with the gospel. We will keep this mission of our congregation in the front as we work through this process, especially focusing on the growing and going. Growing happens when we are in His Word through worship, Bible study, and serving Jesus. Going with the gospel or outreach happens when we are actively telling others about what Jesus has done for us and sharing His Word. Over the next few weeks, I want to encourage all of you to share your thoughts and ideas concerning our ministry and vacancy. Please speak with me or any of your 10 church councilmen. Our names and numbers are listed in the announcement sheet, and there is also a mugshot sheet with all of us there. I'd like to introduce anybody that's attending this service. If you guys could stand up, and I'll introduce the councilmen that are here. Okay, we got Gary Norwood. He's our chairman of Board of Elders. We got Ryan Miller, chairman of a Board of Adult Discipleship. And Dave Call there, he's our chairman of Outreach. I don't see anybody else here at early service. They must have slept in a little bit today. So please speak with us. Our phone numbers are there. If you prefer to write or type, you can send us a letter or email as well. The church council will meet in August to discuss your thoughts and develop a plan of action. Then after sending the strays off with a fond farewell in early September, we will present you with that plan. In men's fellowship last week, our Bible study, we studied Jeremiah 28 and 29. And just as the Lord Almighty shared with his exiled people in Babylon in chapter 29, verse 11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Amen.